Welcome to Career Tools. Today's show, Developing Internal Relationships, the When and How, Part 2. Here we go. You mentioned meals. Tell me about lunch. You mentioned lunch is the third of the items we're going to talk about.
Anybody want to grab lunch? I'm going to say it again. Anybody want to grab lunch? Okay. I don't know why bosses don't say that as they're walking out to leave the building and have one of the directs. I'll come with you. And we're not saying you have to have lunch every day with your directs, because sometimes that feels more like work than you want it to be. But, you know, I'll steal from Keith Ferrazzi here. Never eat alone. Never eat alone. Great, great, great book. One of the ones we recommend on the website.
Okay. Okay. But let me push back here a little bit, though, because a lot of folks tell me, and I can kind of understand it, they don't eat lunch a lot, right? They're at their desk working. They don't have time to eat lunch. And, you know, going out to lunch seems like, frankly, a waste of time.
Okay.
Are you buying it?
Am I buying lunch? Yeah, sure. I'll buy lunch.
You're buying my story.
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm too busy to eat lunch. Yeah. Let me spill mustard on my keyboard. Yeah, I got to tell you something, folks. The whole lunch at your desk thing, way overrated. I think we need a cast. I think we'll put a cast out about lunch. And probably what we'll need to do, Mike, is we'll put it out in both feeds because it's so valuable. It's probably a Career Tools cast, but we'll put it out and we'll make it available to Manager Tools people too.
Yeah.
Because it just boggles my mind that, oh, we don't have time. Yeah, and then you wonder why you're tired at 5 o'clock, because you're worn out because you needed a break and you didn't take one. So – yeah, okay. A lot of people say they don't have time for lunch anymore. But first of all, we have a cast from years ago that says, you know, we recommend you have lunch with someone once a week, at least, you know, from your network once a week. That's not wasting time. That is part of your job, creating strong enough relationships with other people so that when you have to work with them, the relationship greases the discussions enough that you don't fight like cats and dogs. It's much easier to get stuff done with people you know than people you don't. You have to invest some time, and you might say, well, I don't have time. Okay, well, how are you going to have enough time to do it over again if you don't have enough time to do it right the first time? Okay, and if you don't start investing now, you're going to have this same problem forever, and you're going to wonder why you didn't become an executive when you thought you had the ability or the intellect or the drive, and it's because you don't have a network strong enough to support you once you get there, and the other executives in the organization will know it. You will not be more productive sitting at your desk cranking through emails than you will overall, in terms of investment and ROI long term. You won't be more effective by eating lunch at your desk by yourself than you would be if you took some time and had lunch with somebody else outside of the office. And folks, this is what sales people and marketing people know that IT managers don't. And when IT managers complain to me that people in their company who are sales and marketing get promoted, I'd say, well, there are a couple of reasons for that. One is people who are closer to the customer tend to do better. But the other thing is they have stronger relationships and they make time to know people. And when some executive is asked about Joe Smith over in sales, says, oh, I know Joe. He's a great guy. I don't know this other guy here. I don't know him. I just don't know him. And there are only 5 promotion slots and there's 25 guys. I'm not going to say yes to a guy I don't know. Unless your boss is touting you, and that's what bosses should do, but they often don't. And then you want to blame the sales guy. It's not the sales guy. It's not the fact that he's in sales. It's the fact that he's creating relationships. Having relationships is all about ROI. It makes you more productive in the long term. You know, think about any problem, right? There are 2 approaches. Jack sees the problem and spends time reading up on the problem and potential solutions. Jill sees a potential problem and calls Bill, who she had lunch with last week. Now, maybe Jill's solution isn't the quickest every single time, but we're willing to bet that she's further along than Jack in the majority of cases by reaching out to somebody who's done it before, whom she knows. Investing time in your relationships is going to be repaid in time saved. And you ought to be eating lunch every day outside of the office often anyway. So lunch is a chance to combine those 2 things.
All right. Our fourth area or opportunity for building relationships, regular email updates.
Yeah, come on. This is so easy. I've been doing this for years where I talk to people about building their network and about becoming, you know, the middle part of their career where, you know, if they've totally failed in the beginning, and I show them a page, and it's funny, it's a page from the Saturday after 9/11, as it turned out, and I happened to be traveling. I flew the first day you could fly, after 9/11, and I show them the travel I did that day, and Outlook, the number of tasks that started with stay in touch with, right? We've recommended before several times, you have a list of people and you keep in touch with them. It's Control Shift K and Control G in Outlook opens a task and then creates a recurrence. And look, you could do 15 of them or 10 of them in about 15 minutes. You open it up in the morning. Let's say there's 10 people to keep in touch with. You know, if you have 200 work days in a year, I'm just making that up as a rough number. If you have 200 work days and you have 10 people to stay in touch with, that's 2,000 people to stay in touch with. Now, okay, and then let's divide that by four because we're going to assume you're going to stay in touch with everybody once a quarter. Still, that's 500 people in your network that you're staying in touch with, which is pretty darn good. And you're only probably going to have to send emails to 300 of them because 200 of them are people you're going to interact with in some fashion. Or maybe you'll have to send emails to 400. And if you really want to talk about it, that means it's like just a couple a day. But the point is, you just open up, you're in your task management system, whatever that might be, you have a recurring task, and you send an email. And staying in touch with, yes, there are things that say you should send articles and you should send notes and mention their kids' names and so on, but you don't have to do that. What you simply have to do is avoid doing what so many people do, which is, you know, the Christmas family newsletter thing where everybody's on a blind copy thing. I'm frankly get frustrated by those. I think that's just the wrong way to do things. And it's a note like this. You take the first person on your list and you write them an email. And it's two paragraphs. It's, hey, Bill, just thinking about you, wondering how you're doing. I'm sure it's busy there, getting the kids back to school and everything. Let's say you were writing in September in the U.S.
Yeah, and let's assume they have kids. Okay, yes, kids.
Yeah, that'd be good, right? Yeah. And you say, I'm working on a new project to upgrade the servers over in Building B. I've got a great new kid on my team, Justin Smith. Sharp as everything and going to go far. I'm sure he's keeping me on my toes. Regards, Jill. That's it. It's just that.
Yeah, it took like 2 minutes to write that, maybe?
Well,
maybe.
It doesn't take me that long because I've written 1,000 of them. You know, I just recently started writing notes for people who come to conferences. And somebody, I mentioned it, that I'd send them a thank you note. And they were like, you're going to send everybody a thank you note? I said, yeah. They said, well, how can you possibly send 50 people an individual thank you note? I said, well, there are a couple of things. If you write everybody the exact same note, surely two people are going to compare them. So you can't do that. But you only need to write what amounts to 5 or 6 notes. And as long as you type each one individually, and as long as you don't do any cutting and pasting, you might think that people are going to say, what a lame thing to do. But the vast majority, 90% of the people who get that note are going to be, wow, this person stays in touch. We have lots of listeners, lots of members. I ask them to stay in touch. They don't. They just don't. The guy who does it best is Tom Houseman, who's just a class guy all the way around, and Paul Schwier as well. And, you know, I get notes every once in a while. And I love Tom's because at the top of the note, it says, Mark, this is just an update. There's nothing you need to do here.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah. Thanks, Tom. But it doesn't take that long. You're right. It doesn't take that long to write. You send it. And, you know, you could, if you wanted to, copy and paste it into the next mail. Frankly, I don't do that because I find if I do that, then I come back to the note a minute later when I get interrupted. And then I say, oh, look, the note's done. And I don't want it to be copy and pasted. It takes 30 seconds or a minute or a minute and a half to write it. And then for some of you, you're going to say, well, I don't have that kind of time. Okay, well, then we don't have any solutions for you that'll work. Maybe feedback, because that takes 5 seconds. But I even get people who push back on feedback. It just doesn't take that long.
A lot of people push back, say, that's too short. There's, you know, two paragraphs. That's not enough. I need to add more. And then they also push back and say, I don't have time, right? Well, part of the reason you don't have time is because you're making it too much.
You're working too hard.
You don't have to. You don't have to work that hard.
Well, no, I think some people say they don't have time because they're too busy. And they're busy because they're working on urgent things. And part of the reason things are urgent is because they don't have friends who will help them out.
Right. Yeah,
right?
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, Control-Shift-K, Control-G, not hard, very straightforward. If Outlook is your operating system, as it was for me for years, not hard at all. And you'll feel connected to people and you'll get notes back. And I promise you, at least one of you a month will want to send a note to us and say, wow, that worked. I kept a relationship from going cold. It was a little bit warm. And then when I needed some help, when I needed somebody to look at a resume, they did. Rather than that panicky feeling of, oh my gosh, I've let my resume die. I am the grasshopper and not the ant.
Right. Now, look, you already said it. I just want to reiterate. This is not the same thing as sending out an email blast to 300 people and CC, you know, blind copying everybody, sending it to one person, yourself generally, and blind copying everybody else. That's the Christmas email, and it doesn't work that well.
I don't get it. I think you're literally saying, I don't care about you. I think that's what you're doing. I do. I really think there is a healthy groundswell, 50, 60, 70% who, when they see themselves be seen. By the way, if you've got to let everybody know, you've got to find a nice tone of friendliness, but also some detail, and people feel obligated. You wouldn't send one that was two sentences long, but then when you're writing 10 paragraphs, suddenly that takes you a couple hours. And now everybody gets the same thing every quarter, let's say. But that's not staying in touch. And I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I could be wrong. And folks, if you think I'm wrong, send us mail. But frankly, I think the vast majority of people see that as a blind CC, a standard email blast to a bunch of people, and they delete it.
Right.
But a short note, Dear Bill, comes across.
I'm not going to say that. If somebody sends out, like at Christmas time, an update of what everybody in the family's doing, and Margie's in dance, and Jim's taking piano lessons, and Fred's, you know, playing football, and all. Okay, I get that.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that's negative and that's not useful to folks. If you want to, you know, inform 500 family members about what the family's been up to for the last year, I'm not saying that's a problem. What we're talking about here is not the same thing. You're informing people. Yeah, you're passing on information. It's not the same thing as building a relationship. Here, we're talking about building a relationship, and a relationship, by definition, is one-on-one.
Right? Yep. So that's a good way to put it. You're right. Good point. And I will read Christmas notes, but I won't read an email that comes to me quarterly from somebody in HTML that is that I know is spam to 500 or 1,000 people, and clearly it's not written to me.
Exactly.
If I believe the note is written to me, I will read it.
Yeah, the note that goes, and every, you know, you see it all the time, right? One of those kind of spam-like emails. How are the kids? Well, I don't have any kids. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go on to our next opportunity. And this is a great one, cross-organizational projects.
Oh,
wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, they're a perfect place to meet new people. I don't get this feeling that managers say, I don't have enough time, and, you know, gosh, there's... seems like other people are getting the opportunities. And then you're like, well, you were suggested, and you're always finding reasons to say no. And then you wonder why you don't have the relationships and the network across the organization that you need to get things done. Other people make the time. And, you know, I've been thinking lately, Mike, that in the Juggling Koan podcast that we did several years ago that was so popular, we talked about what do you do when you're given one more big ball to juggle? It's, in fact, that new stress of more work that causes people to say, okay, I've got to get rid of something. Whereas if you don't stress them, they won't get rid of something. Same thing here. You can stress yourself. You don't need to wait for your boss to give you something new to do. You can simply say, I'm going to do more. And then that will cause me to realize I want to go home at night. And so therefore, I'm going to give some of my stuff away. Or I'm going to figure out that I can do it in less time and nobody's going to complain about the quality and I can get by. And please, high C's, don't take offense, because sometimes quality can go down, because sometimes the internal standards are higher than the external thresholds that we need. I'm a big fan of quality. There are some things that have to be perfect, but not everything has to be perfect. But look, you volunteer for, or when you hear about a cross-organizational project, you ask to be on it, or you pay attention to things and you tell your boss, hey, I hear something's going on there. I'd love to be involved in that if I could. And yes, you're too busy, but you say yes, and then you figure out how you're going to solve the problem. But you know you're going to definitely get the stuff done that's on the cross-organizational project. And then you don't turn it down. You turn up early. You stay late to the meetings for that project, and you'll have 10 new relationships in no time at all. Okay? But look, we know you're busy. We know you won't have time to fit it in, but you're never going to find a way to fit it in unless it's sitting in your lap on your desk, and you're going to have to get creative. It does seem logical to say to your boss, I don't know how I could put another 3 hours of work in my week. I'll pass on this one. I'll work on getting more efficient. I'll have more time next time. It just doesn't work that way. The executives that we work with, the managers we work with, it doesn't work with. It doesn't work for Mike and I, you know, and frankly, you may not be offered it next time, having turned down the opportunity once. And as I said before, until your system is stressed, you're not really forced to find the creative solutions to getting more done in less time. And if you're a manager, getting more done in less time includes delegating. You'll work out a way to make it work. Simple as that.
No doubt. Okay, so another opportunity. Read promotion announcements. You know, I just want to do my normal act like I'm dumb, but okay. So you read promotion announcements. It's a joyous moment in somebody's career. Somebody gets promoted. You just reach out and congratulate them, right? I mean, yeah. How easy does it get?
And I'll tell you, they appreciate it. I had a situation recently where one of the folks I worked with for a while got promoted to the highest level on Wall Street, and I left him a voicemail, and he felt terrible when he called me back in a couple of months and said, I feel terrible. I got your message. I was totally swamped. I had a million messages, but I remember you called. And then he joked, because we're friends, and he said, and I know who didn't call as well. And he said, and some of the guys who didn't call were the guys who didn't get promoted, which is just unbelievable. Look, if you don't know the person who got promoted, but the promotion will bring them into a role which affects yours, or where your role will affect theirs, you can still send them an email. And look, I know you think you're sucking up, but so many of us, we've talked about this earlier in the cast, we invent things in other people's minds to justify our lack of activity, our lack of fear, our comfort with the rut we're in. But you could easily say, hey, George, welcome to our division. Congratulations on your promotion over in accounts payable. I'm over in collections. I'm sure we'll be meeting at some point in the quarterly roundup or something. I'd love to spend 30 minutes telling you how we work together, but you may be really busy fitting in. If you need anything over here, just let me know. Now, look, they're going to remember that you reached out and you were nice. And you might think, well, gee, I suppose it's possible they're going to want me to do something. Well, okay. Yeah. And if you do something when they're new and you help them out, they're going to know that's a big favor and they owe you one. And yes, somebody told me recently in Chicago, well, Mark, I'm wary of giving favors, you know, because I've given favors sometimes. I don't get them back. Well, okay. I got to tell you something, folks. If you're going to do that kind of calculus, you're going to be a sad, sad person inside. You have to do favors and you have to assume that you may not get one back from that person, but it's going to help. And I know the high C's, the people who are logical and rational and the math, you know, the math doesn't work and it's not that easy, Mark. Yeah. Okay. But you know, I do a lot of favors for people and people seem to do a lot of favors for me. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe it's just you. I don't think so. Okay. How about, all hands mails. Now, again, it's another form of organizational communications, right? There's a lot of information in these, right? You know, who's moving around, right. New initiatives. And frankly, if you run down the hall and you know there's a new initiative and you know Joe happens to be on that new initiative, wouldn't that be good, you know, chit-chat type stuff?
Yeah.
If you went to a cocktail party, that's the kind of stuff you'd look for, right?
We've talked about this in another cast, and Wendy said, we've got to talk about this more because I'm amazed. Nobody does it. Or they read the first paragraph and they know what it's about. But look, stuff comes out, new initiatives, reasons to talk to people. Even if it's something as simple as the company baseball game, you could reuse it as a reason to send an email or leave a voicemail and say, dude, 50 to nothing? Wow, you suck today. And I guess I feel like, why wouldn't you? I suppose that you might think it's cool to say, oh, no, I don't have time to read that stuff. Everybody complains about all their mail, and then they say, well, I don't read much of it. I'm like, well, really? Do you just stare at the screen and look busy?
That's crazy. I had a direct of mine, you know her, but I'll just leave her name off this. And she worked for me. We got her promoted. So now she's a peer of mine and we're reporting to the same boss, right? And our mutual boss happens to like baseball. Now, she's not a big baseball fan. She has no interest in baseball whatsoever, but she was discussing with me and complaining a little bit that she had a hard time developing a relationship with this guy. And she had nothing to talk about. I said, well, what do you think he likes? Well, he likes baseball. So, okay, he likes baseball. Some folks are not going to like me for saying this, but like, go learn a little bit of baseball. Read the newspaper. He's a big Red Sox fan. So go find out something about the Red Sox. Find out who's pitching. And next time you see him, comment on the game. That's it. You don't have to know all the detail. You don't have to know the box scores, but show a little interest in something he's interested in. And she did that, and it worked out fantastically. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I think has happened, and I had this conversation about a year ago with somebody I was talking to after one of our effective communications conferences where we talk about networks and creating relationships and maintaining them and having better relationships. And I said, that's a kind thing to do, to get to know something that somebody else is interested in. And this person said, yes, but I'm taking it as I can't do that with someone senior because they'll think of it as me sucking up. And again, I go back to my earlier statement, which I know beating a dead horse here, but is we're making up things, opinions or responses in other people's minds that justify our own tendency to not engage in more effective behavior. We're in a rut and we can convince ourselves not to do it. But you know, it's funny. when somebody learns something a little bit more about what you were doing, or they stop by your desk and say, hey, I know you're a big Pats fan. Sorry to hear about the Bills beating them like for the first time in 15 years or something.
Awful.
If that person doesn't know anything about football and they connected football and you and they say something, I got to tell you, 99% of the people I know don't think of that as a role-playing game. It's not about the role power that they have or you have or something. It is just kindness. And I think we're trying too hard to say that somebody else with more power than us suddenly has achieved a level where they can get away with arrogance. And when I ask regular managers that, you know, what if one of your directs came up to you and made a comment about something, even though you knew it wasn't their thing, but they had noticed it over the weekend and knew that you were connected to it and made a comment, good or bad, whatever. You know, hey, congratulations on Army's win or Commander Chief's trophy or whatever. And they're all like, oh, that'd be really nice. I wouldn't think somebody was sucking up. Now, there are people who do suck up. They do it almost salaciously in a way that's creepy, but I don't meet those people that often. Yeah,
we're not suggesting you do that.
Yeah, but people don't do that. It's rare, and those people aren't listening to us anyway. So yeah.
Yeah, there's some creepy people in the world, no doubt. Okay, so number 8, the internet, right? I mean, this is an easy one, right? If you want to know, like, who's made the biggest sale in the last 6 months?
It's on the internet.
It's on the internet. Go look at it, right? That person might be somebody you'd be interested in knowing. And so you reach out and congratulate them. It's just that simple.
Or if you're in a facility with 250 people and somebody talks about something in engineering, look at the picture in the article on the internet and you see that it's Bill Jackson over in engineering that, you know, has been there 25 years, just came up with a big cost saving idea. And all you have to do is when you go over in engineering, spend an extra 5 seconds, look for where Jackson's desk is. And if he's there at the desk and it's the guy in the picture, just say, hey, just saw your picture. Congratulations. That was great.
That's it. And he'll remember you. Believe me, he'll remember you in a kind way, right? He'll be happy that you said something. Folks, we just listed 8 ideas. There are 50 of them, 100 of them, right? And they're all simple.
And 60% of the people who are listening right now have shot them all down. Oh, I've got a good reason not to do that. And you know what?
Well,
that's okay, folks. Really, it's okay. Shoot them all down if you want. But don't come crying to us. When the winter comes, when you don't have a network built and you need a job and things have gone bad, we'll feel bad for you. And we'll ask you about your network and you'll say, it's not that good.
Wow, it's
and
too
late at that point. This is, you know, an inch. It's just by the inch, it's a cinch. It's a small thing. It's little bits and pieces. That's how you do. You know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's how you do it.
And even for somebody like me who's a DC, I got no people part of me at all, right? If there was a zero in disc, I'd have zero on that stuff.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, this can be fun. It was fun for me when I got my head around this. It was a lot of fun. So just challenge yourself. Make a game out of it, if nothing else.
Yeah, I remember years ago when we used to present together, I'd say, okay, now for the next 45 minutes, we're done. We're done preparing. We have to meet the client as they come in. And you didn't want to do it. You did not want to do it.
Yeah.
I said, okay. And then you said, okay, I'll do it. And you said, God, you make it look easy. I said, well, I've been doing it. Even whether I like it or not, I've been doing it a long time. I ought to be able to do it. And then a couple times later, you said, no, this is fine. It's no problem.
Well, yeah.
If I know that's my job, I'm going to do my job. I'm going to do what right. I'm going to do what's right.
Well, it's that whole thing. You know, sometimes you think yourself into acting and sometimes you just act your way into a way of thinking, right? And pretty soon you find it's enjoyable, even if it's not what you naturally do. So, okay, enough of the sermon. A last point for this cast, calendar time for relationships. We're talking about relationships and then we've turned it into something so process driven that we got to calendarize it, right? I mean, it's a little odd, but stuff that's important gets put on your calendar.
That's right. That's exactly right. And actually, sometimes I don't have it on my calendar. I do look at my calendar each week and say, am I building new relationships? Do I see anything on my calendar? But a lot of time it's just tasks, right? That I have 15 minutes. If I have 15 minutes on my calendar to stay in touch with people, if I have email first thing in the morning, you know, I've got 30 or 40 emails to get through first thing in the morning before I really get going at my desk. And usually they're operational stuff, but sometimes they're client requests and so on. And I go through those. And then before I get busy with anything else, before I start my first big task, I make sure I fit in 10 to 15 minutes for going through the tasks of staying in touch with people or making a phone call. And I can tell you, it takes longer now to get on my calendar for those people who are my friends. Years ago, I had friends who I had many more frequent lunches in San Antonio on my way in and out of the airport. But now I'm busy right up in the time I get in the car to go to the airport. And some of my friends in San Antonio say, you're never in San Antonio anymore. I said, no, I'm in San Antonio more often. I'm just backed up. But what I've discovered is, you know, I have to schedule a little bit longer in the future, but I'm starting to have that time again with my friends in San Antonio. But look, careers are built on two things, results and relationships. Relationships are important enough for you to be putting time aside to start and develop and maintain them. And if you haven't learned how to start, develop, and maintain relationships, by the time you're an executive, you're going to be given too much to do, and learning both all the stuff you have to do new and creating all the relationships will crush you, and you'll be one of those junior executives who resigns to seek other opportunities. Unless there's someone in the room who you need to work with, use the 30 minutes between meetings to scan the internet, drop a quick email, leave a voicemail for somebody. You're not doing something productive by the time you've made a fresh cup of coffee and you've been to the bathroom, right? So take the time. I like first time in the morning, partially because if I send mails late in the day, people get them late in the day and they're not as willing to dash off a quick answer. And then my mail is cold to them the next morning. If you do relationship building stuff by 10 in the morning, you're going to get a response back. And the response is going to be friendly enough or energetic enough to suggest that, hey, I had to go over and talk to that guy, or that guy could do me some good. Or he could say, hey, I'm going up to Harvard to give a talk next month. And suddenly, oh, I know somebody who has connections at Harvard. If you calendar time to do this, it'll be in your face every time you try to add something to your calendar. I know you're busy in the next 3 weeks. I don't actually know that, but I know you believe you are. So look 4 weeks from now or 5 weeks from now. You've got gigantic swaths of time on your calendar, folks. So put some time there. Start putting 15 minutes on your calendar. Move it around a little bit. It's okay if it gets moved around a lot. It's not the number one priority. And if your boss wants to trumpet, he or she can trumpet. But every once in a while, somebody's going to look for your time on your calendar, and that 15 minutes is not going to be available because you're going to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, you got to follow through. If it's on the calendar, don't just put it on your calendar and then blow through it and spend more time doing email. But if you've got time to stay in touch with people, if you make time to stay in touch with people, you'll find that maybe your relationships won't blossom overnight into 100, but they'll gradually begin increasing, which is good, because if you try to create 100 relationships in a month, you're going to stink at all of them right away. But if you do relationships a little bit of time and gradually add a few more and a few more and a few more, you will have learned how to handle them better for those of you who aren't comfortable doing them. And by the time you have a couple of hundred, you'll be really good at it. Make a commitment. Spend at least 30 minutes working on your relationships every week for the next 3 months. And we'll guarantee you, you won't want to give that 30 minutes up, in part because it'll have led to some real value. So you'll have gotten some return on your investment. And that's exactly why we want you to do this. We don't want you to do this just because relationships are valuable. We want you to do this because we want you to benefit from the relationships you create.
Absolutely. That's it, right?
Yeah. Introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Mark. And when they don't say their name, say, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. And by the way, there's a podcast for that, about how to introduce yourself. And by the way, learn how to share relationships. There's a podcast for how to introduce other people. Jane, this is Bob. Bob, I'd like you to meet Jane, so on. There are all kinds of times that you can make this happen. Before and after meetings, traveling a little earlier, staying a little later, at lunch. You can send out email updates that are personalized and don't take that long. Get on some cross-organizational projects. Wow. And force yourself to look at the things you do and realize you could probably shrink some of the time you spend without a quality or a timeliness problem. Read the internet. Read the all-hands mail. Stay on top of the promotion announcements. They seem mundane, but you know that's how you build a house, brick by brick by brick, and put some time on your calendar, and it'll make a difference in the long run, which is what we want.
Absolutely. All right, my friend. Thanks.
Thanks, partner.
All right, we'll see you later. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.